This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They're hot. They're really hot. They're burning. It's Denton's five burning questions.
We've got imaging. We got it. All right, what do you got for me today?
I'll give anybody bonus points that they can name the song that's playing underneath this. We got five questions for you. I'm going to start with one out west. Does the rough start for the 49ers validate your feelings on Brock Purdy being just a guy?
I don't know what this slow start means for the 49ers. They've been so banged up. They've been missing their best player in Christian McCaffrey, or certainly arguably their best player in Christian McCaffrey. You know, the three losses that they have are literally by like a combined 8 points or something like that. Not even. I think it's 7 points. They could have won any of the three games that they lost. I think tomorrow night's a big night, by the way, for the 49ers. A big night at Seattle. I don't think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. I think he is. I think he's a system quarterback, but I think he's also, you know, more than just system. I think he creates plays. He's good at creating plays, but I don't think he's always the best decision maker. And I don't know that there aren't another, you know, take the elite quarterbacks and the really good quarterbacks out of the conversation, that there aren't another 6 or 7 NFL quarterbacks that if they were in his spot would be producing the same results. I think that's the net of how I feel about Brock Purdy. But I also understand that Mike and Kyle, who I trust implicitly, think that he's special. Think that he is truly a guy that you can win the whole thing with. And, I mean, hell, as a rookie, he got to the NFC title game, got hurt. They lost that game. And then last year, he's in the Super Bowl, and he's in overtime with a chance to win it. 49ers are interesting. You know, this league never fails to, you know, provide surprises, you know, based on what you thought before the season began. So far this year, it would be right now San Francisco's slow start, Minnesota's super hot start, along with Washington's super hot start. And in the AFC, you would look towards Cincinnati, you know, a team that everybody thought healthy, Burrow back, would be right there in the race in the AFC, and they're 1-4. I don't think they're a bad football team, personally, and I think they will win games. But as far as Brock Purdy goes, nothing's changed my mind about him. I think he's a decent quarterback. He's a system quarterback, maybe a little bit more than a system quarterback, but there are 5-6 guys, and I'm not talking about the elite guys, that you could put into his spot and produce the same results.
All right, question number two, kind of tied to that, because a guy that you liked who backed up Brock Purdy is now quarterbacking a 5-0 Minnesota Vikings team. Do you feel like this team, defensively, offensively, whatever, do you feel like they're good enough to be legitimate contenders for the number one overall seed in the NFC?
I think that they are. Right now, they are off to a defensive start that is as good as we've seen, at least per the DVOA metric. They're number one defensively in the league, and they're 22 percentage points ahead of the number two defense in the league, that being the LA Chargers at this point. Minnesota is a wrecking crew defensively. They're so well coached. They added players like Van Ginkle and Greenard, which, by the way, they were able to do in part because they didn't pay Kirk Cousins. You know, this is not, I'm not going to turn this into a Kirk Cousins conversation, but one of the things that I always said about Kirk is he's not elite. He's just very good. But you have to be careful, because when you pay very good elite money, you can't build the team around him to support a winning or a consistently winning situation. You may be great on offense, but the Vikings with him and his contract there were terrible defensively for some of those years. When they were paying him the franchise tag here, they weren't very good defensively. That's why these rookie deals, when you can get them, and it's rare to find a guy like Jaden on a rookie deal, are great, and that you should only pay elite money to truly elite players that can overcome roster holes elsewhere. Minnesota is well coached defensively. I'm actually curious as to whether or not the league will give Brian Flores another shot at a head coaching job. But besides that, they are dominant defensively. Now, the good defensive teams they have faced, they haven't been great offensively. Sam Darnold, I've always been a believer that Sam Darnold in the right system could be a much better quarterback than what he's shown. And you've seen that. I mean, by the way, Kevin O'Connell here in the last three seasons, Kirk 2 years, and Sam Darnold here. Kevin O'Connell now is understood to be in that McVay, you know, Kyle, Matt LaFleur category of just, you know, making chicken salad out of, you know, whatever it is, the components at every turn. And he's had good, look, they have great skill position players. I mean, they have JJ, they've got Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson isn't even playing right now. Minnesota's legit. They're legit. I Darnold against good defensive teams and this offense against good defensive teams hasn't been great necessarily, but he's been good enough with that defense. He tried a little bit to give it away Sunday in London, had an interception, had a fumble, but their defense stood up tall and turned the Jets over three times. Yeah, Minnesota's good enough to be the one seed. What do you say to that?
I think their defense is good enough. I definitely do. But I do kind of think that Detroit is going to get on a little bit of a roll, especially with San Francisco out. Now, San Francisco,
they're not very good defensively right now.
No, they're not. But I do think they'll start to put things together a little bit. The question is just going to be, Sam Darnold, can he maintain the offensive success that they have had once they start? Really, once you get into like the dog days of the season, right? Once you get to like late October, November, I think they're definitely good enough. I would just put my money on Detroit rather than Minnesota.
Look, their 5-0 start has included wins over the 49ers, the Texans, the Packers, and the Jets. So you're going to look back on that and say, even if we don't feel like they're the best team when we get to January and maybe they're the one seed, they will have accumulated so many wins early against quality teams. Like, I'm looking at it. They still have the Lions twice, and they finish with the Lions on the road at the end of the year. They still have the Bears, who, you know, have played okay twice. They still have another game with the Packers. It's at home. They play the Seahawks. They play the Falcons. But they also have games against the Rams, who are struggling, the Colts, the Jags, the Titans, the Bears, the Cardinals. I don't think they're going to lose less than 11. That's not going to. You got to get to 12 or 13 more likely than not to be a one seed in the NFC this year.
Yeah,
they're going to have a shot to do it.
In 2 weeks, because they have a bye week Detroit. This week. That game against Detroit is going to be huge.
It's in Minnesota, right?
Yes, it is, and they finish on the road at Detroit. Yeah,
I mean, they watch them play defense. It is. I mean, coaches are raving about Brian Flores' schemes, and he's got players to play them more effectively than he did last year, or, you know, the other defensive coordinators in Minnesota had the years before. All right, what else?
All right, question number three. This one pertains to our team. Assuming full health, it's a caveat here, if Washington beats Baltimore to improve to 5-1, does anything other than an NFC East title then feel like a disappointment?
Oh, boy. That sounds like a question for next week if they win. Does anything other than an NFC East title feel like a disappointment? At 5-1? Not yet. Not yet. Because you got four games still to play against the Eagles and the Cowboys. You know? And by the way, Washington would, if they win the game, would have at that point three wins against the AFC. Just so you know, if you're familiar with the tie-breaking rules, that's not a big help in the tie-breaking when you get to the end of the year. What would be a massive disappointment if they start 5-1 is for them not to make the playoffs at that point. That would be totally fair to say, barring, you know, injuries, etc. But no, I think there are some big conference and division games upcoming. Look, that Bears game is going to be a big game. The Bears play the Jags Sunday in London. If they get that, they're 4-2. And then they have the bye week before they play Washington here. You know, they've got a game against the Steelers, AFC matchup. The Steelers can't score, but they got four games against the Eagles and the Cowboys. They play the Falcons late in the season here. You know, the Falcons very likely will be pushing for a playoff spot. That'll be a big game. Not making the playoffs would certainly be a disappointment if they start 5-1. Definitely.
Definitely. By the way, pulling an old Jim Zorn on us.
Well, they didn't start 5-1 under Zorn.
They did start
6-2.
Yeah.
And remember, they started 5-2 with Alex Smith. Neither one of those two teams made the playoffs. And their last 5-1 team, the 96 team, that team didn't make the playoffs.
Great.
It's hard not to make the playoffs starting 5-1. And I think the context around 5-1 would be the big part of this. It's like, wow, it's not just that they're 5-1. They're like legitimately really good.
Well, the caveat is also that there are seven teams in the postseason now, as opposed to in those other years where there were not.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point. Yeah. Seven teams. So not making the playoffs would be a massive disappointment, but they still have their four games with the Cowboys and the Eagles. And by the way, another one with the Giants, you know, and that one on the road. And the Giants are very quietly a competitive football team in the last 4 weeks since they got absolutely housed by the Vikings in the opener. They very easily could have beat us with a kicker. They beat the Browns, who were terrible. They could have beaten the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football, and they went to Seattle, you know, and won on Sunday. You know, if you're a Giant fan, they play the Bengals Sunday night in the Meadowlands. What if you won that game to get to 3-3? Who's favored in that game? I'm going to assume Cincinnati's at least a 3-point favorite, right?
Yeah, Cincinnati is a 3.5-point favorite on the road.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, question number four. So for this question, I'm going to need you to pull up an NFL standings page just so you can get the proper lay of the land here. But there are 14 teams that are currently above 500 right now in the NFL. The Broncos are one of them. It's kind of a layup answer for this question, so if you want to avoid them, I'm not going to be mad. But of the 14 teams that are above 500, which team do you feel like is most likely to finish in the top 10 of the NFL draft?
Top 10. So that, you know, that puts them between 22 and 32, the bottom third of the league, basically. Let me look at the standings.
Like, the Broncos feel obvious.
Miami? Oh, they're not 3-2. Excuse me.
No, they're 2-3. Yeah.
I'm not going to say Denver. There's something about that defense, and Sean Payton, I still think, is a great coach. Wow, this is a hard question.
I do have an answer for this one, by the way. I actually don't think it's incredibly hard.
Say Chicago?
No, I would say Seattle.
No, you're not going to say Chicago.
I'd say Seattle.
Are you going to say Dallas?
No, the Seahawks. They started 3-0 playing awful teams. And now they've played non-awful teams and they've lost.
They have talent, though, Denton.
They do, but I don't love their defense necessarily. I like Witherspoon, but I don't love their defense. And Geno Smith is fine. He's like a middle-of-the-pack NFL quarterback, which is good to have, but I don't know that he's like a game wrecker. And you look at their schedule there. You got the 49ers tomorrow. You got the Falcons, Bills. You got the 49ers, you got the Rams, 49ers again, the Jets late in the year, the Vikings, like they got a pretty tough schedule coming up.
It could be the Bears, but I was looking at their schedule and now I can pull it up. I got the standings up. I mean, they play the Jags, they play Washington, the Cardinals, the Patriots. They still, their schedule ends rough. I mean, I don't know what to make of Denver. Honestly, these are the situations in the NFL where you just got to shake your head, because when they went to Tampa and won 26-7, you're like, huh? And then they beat the Jets 10-9, and then they beat up on the Raiders the other day. It's not, you know, the win over Tampa on the road is super impressive, but then you go back and you're like, they were right in the game against the Seahawks and the Steelers in the first 2 weeks, you know? So what is Denver? I mean, they got Pat Surtain. We know that. I mean, he had a 100-yard interception return. He is one of the best corners in the game. You know, they still have guys like Courtland Sutton and Javonte Williams, who's one of my favorite backs to watch. Did we already talk about this, that Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels, the three rookie quarterbacks through 5 weeks, are all on teams with winning records?
Yeah. That's impressive. Especially after everyone was saying how slow they started from a statistical standpoint after the first 2 weeks of the year because no one had thrown a touchdown pass.
I can't answer your question, but if I am forced to answer your question, I'll say Chicago.
All right, final one for you here, the fifth and final one. We've seen a lot of trade talk. A lot of receivers mentioned some trade talk. Who do you think is more likely to get traded at the deadline, Davante Adams, T. Higgins, or Amari Cooper?
One and three. Adams and Cooper are both going to get dealt. I think I feel confident about that. The most likely at this point is Adams. What do you say to that? I mean, it just seems like Adams is going to get traded. He's going to get his way. I mean, he's not even playing right now. They're going to deal him.
They should deal him. I would say Amari Cooper. I just feel like that's an easy move to make because you're not really committing to his contract long term. He's a free agent at the end of this year. So I feel like that's an easy move, and it's just more of the Browns. Are they going to be smart enough to deal him?
I made this comment about Amari Cooper during the game with my son. I was watching it. Like, I really liked Amari Cooper coming out. There have been moments in his career that I've liked him. Do you think he's a bit soft? Like, it seems like every time I watch a Browns game, including last year when they were on their way to the postseason, so many times he makes a catch. It's a big play. He gets tackled, and he doesn't get up. And he's back two plays later, but he doesn't get up for that play. I think Amari Cooper is very talented. He hasn't played with any quarterbacks other than really Joe Flacco, you know, and Dak Prescott, obviously. I don't know, man. I'm not necessarily the fan of Cooper that I used to be. And how old is he now? Is he in his 30s?
I think he's 30 on the nose, I believe. Yeah. I think T. Higgins is young, but both he and Adams are older. Amari Cooper just turned 30.
Yeah. I just pulled it up. I'm looking to see how many games he's missed. He hasn't missed a lot of games, but it seems like he's always on the cusp of missing games or certainly missing plays.
I haven't noticed that in watching him, but I guess if I rewatch it, that feels like one of those things where now that you mention it, I'll go back and rewatch games and I'll start to see it more frequently.
Like, I don't think I would want him. Like, if they got aggressive at the trade deadline, and I've already said, and you weren't on the show last week, but when we had these conversations about Davante Adams, my answer is actually no on Davante Adams. Now, if Adam Peters decides to do it, I know why he's doing it. It's because he is an exceptional elite receiver. But I'd rather them go get defense if they beat the Ravens and they've got a chance to legitimately make a run for a Lombardi trophy. Did I just say that?
We did.
but I would not want Amari Cooper. T. Higgins to me would be intriguing, but I would not want Amari Cooper. All right. Anything else? You got through five, right?
I got through five.
Let's do this when we come back. I want you to hear what Bill Belichick said about Jaden Daniels. We'll do an NFL buy or sell after that. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.